Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses social, political, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. We're in the slow political season. Congress has taken its August recess, yet there's still plenty of nonsense in the news as the media is running around with microphones trying to catch politicians in gotcha statements. But nevertheless, during this hiatus, for at least the next 2 weeks, I'd like to speak about the philosophy of postmodernism. In various degrees, this is the philosophy that has taken over our universities. It's a philosophy that has been embraced by our culture. So Christians should understand the tenets of postmodernism if they're to be good evangelists. We must clearly show people what they are repenting from and what they're repenting to. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, we're to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. So what does that look like? What is the nature of the dominion of Satan, the kingdom that we're supposed to leave, and what is the nature of the kingdom of God to which we confess? Part of evangelism is to generally know the tune the devil is playing at any given time, the point at which humanity is expressing its rebellion to God. It would be kind of useless to be on a crusade today against the error of Eutychianism. But that was the error attacking the doctrine of Christ in the 5th century. Today, the error is labeled postmodernism. The Christians in AD 60, in the days of the Apostle Paul, had to understand Epicureanism and Stoicism, Acts 17:18. And in the 2nd century, the early church had to understand the attack of Gnosticism. But Christians now in the 21st century have to understand the attack of postmodernism. It's the same basic lie of the devil, but it's adapted for the times. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now, in the context, Paul is talking there about practicing forgiveness rather than falling into resentment. One might ask, what does that have to do with Satan's schemes? It sounds like that is an issue with people and their attitudes. Well, don't underestimate the power of the kingdom of darkness to whisper thoughts into people's heads. And when it comes to postmodernism, critical theory, relativism, materialism, hedonism, existentialism, these ideologies that have been systematized into schools of thought in our modern world, we should have no doubt that Satan has his hand in this. 1 Timothy chapter 4. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. So these doctrines or teachings are demonic in origin. Sinful man, of course, has the motive. He already has an enmity against God, but Satan helps to provide some of the means, the justifications, the defense mechanisms. And don't underestimate the influence and the control Satan has over unsaved people. Ephesians chapter 2, Satan is the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. So, for the last few weeks, I've been reading quite a few books and articles about postmodernism. It's really fascinating to hear the teachings right from the horse's mouth, to actually read the statements, or rather the truth claims, being made by these professors. And it's worse than you ever imagined. And those on the right were not exaggerating when they took pot shots at the universities and postmodernism. In fact, those on the right were probably being too kind. And postmodernism explains why we have lunacy in politics today in these public policy proposals. It's why New York State now requires gender-neutral bathrooms. It explains the Green New Deal. It explains open borders. The elimination of ICE. It explains the resurgence of socialism and communism. The leftist congresswoman from the Bronx, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a recent graduate from Boston College, is a prime example of how postmodern ideology taught in the universities is influencing this new breed of politicians. And there are a lot more radicals in the ranks coming after AOC. They want to fundamentally remake America. After looking at this, I realized that it doesn't take years of academic indoctrination to be brainwashed into some of the main tenets of postmodernism, especially when you have no church background. All it takes is a freshman college English class, a freshman social studies class where the professor teaches that fairness and equality mean moral relativism, or that capitalism is a guise for oppression. But I'll discuss that later. In short, what is postmodernism? It's called postmodernism because it's something that has come after the modern age. And the modern age is referring to the Enlightenment that started in the 18th century, where there was a great confidence in man's reason and science as the means to arrive at truth. Postmodernism is now a disbelief in man's ability to arrive at truth because there's no such thing as truth. All values are simply human constructs. Reasoning, logic is simply man's prejudice. Postmodernism is a rejection of objective reality, morality, truth, human nature, and language. It is moral relativism. Anything goes. Now, the Enlightenment was a secular movement that borrowed many foundational Christian principles. It still believed that there were some moral absolutes. These enlightened thinkers were deists who didn't believe in a personal God, but they did believe there is a God who establishes some moral law, that God establishes human rights. Intellectuals like John Locke, who established the democratic politics of the Enlightenment, and Adam Smith, who established the economic policy of the Enlightenment, were both raised in Christian homes. They assumed and took for granted many Christian truths. So it's no surprise that in departing from God, the first few generations are going to hold on to remnants of a Christian worldview. But eventually, without true faith, without being grounded in the Word of God, there is going to be a fading away. And that's where we are today. Godlessness, secularism has come to fruition. The seeds of atheism have sprouted and are starting to bear their fruit. We got on the road to Sodom, and now we have arrived in practice and also in philosophy. And having abandoned God, we're now at the place Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. We have become futile in our speculations, and our foolish hearts are darkened. Because without God giving meaning and purpose and structure and values, eventually people become barbaric. Now, postmodernism itself would only be a textbook theory, but it's the practice that's deadly. The practice is a movement to remove from every aspect of the country Christian values. To remove any absolutes or values, this is often called deconstructionism, the taking apart or the dismantling of traditional Christian values in a culture. And that is their mission. Everyone needs a purpose. Everyone needs a mission. Christians live for evangelism and for sanctification. Postmodernists live for deconstruction. That is their moral crusade. And the way this is done is by claiming that these traditional values, these Christian values, are oppressive. That these values of the Enlightenment, We're social constructs created by white men, created by the elite, created by the powerful to oppress minorities. And since there is no such thing as truth, those who say there is truth are just saying there is truth for a power grab. Now, of course, there is some truth in this. Truth will oppress evil. Criminals, perverts, insurrectionists, thieves get put in jail. Proverbs 20:26, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives a threshing wheel over them. God himself oppresses wicked men. So let's remember what the postmodernists failed to mention is that some oppression is good and right and necessary. Evil should be oppressed. But if you're a postmodernist, you reject the concept that we are evil and that certain behaviors are morally wrong. So the only thing you see is the oppression. And the only value becomes oppression or non-oppression. The only evil is those who have moral values and oppress the immoral people of the world with their morality, making them feel guilty. So if you are a sexual deviant, or if you want Marxism to steal people's money, you may feel that you're being oppressed by these Christian moral and economic laws. You may want to beat down the doors of the righteous, just like the Sodomites wanted to beat down Lot's door. You may want to persecute the righteous. As it says in Psalm 37:32, the wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. So the crusade of postmodernism has become the overthrowing of all the so-called oppression produced by the Christian worldview. Even the oppression of gender norms and gender pronouns. For postmodernists, even those things need to be overturned. The fact that God made them male and female. The philosophy professor Stephen Hicks, in his classic book, Postmodernism Explains, begins by saying, quote, "Leading intellectuals tell us that modernism has died and that a revolutionary era is upon us, an era liberating from the oppressive structures of the past." Later he writes, "The task of the postmodern professor is to help students spot, confront, and work against the political horrors of one's time. Those horrors, according to postmodernism, are most prominent in the West, Western civilization being where reason and power have been most developed." Unquote. So what's so horrible about Western European culture? Well, its influence with many Christian morals and economic values, which the ungodly hate. And they blame Christian truth for all of their guilt and all of their troubles and the curse of work. Hicks writes, "They deconstruct reason, truth, and reality because they believe that in the name of reason, truth, and reality, Western civilization has wrought dominance, oppression, and destruction." Well, biblically, we would call them, Jude 16, "These are grumblers, fault finders, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage." So how do these postmodernists flatter people to gain advantage? Well, they say, "Oh, you poor, oppressed workers, you poor, oppressed transgenders, you poor, oppressed people with dark skin. Your troubles are all due to Western Christianity, to these values of personal accountability, responsibility, human rights, the work ethic, and morality." That's postmodernism in a nutshell. It's also pretty basic stuff couched in sophisticated political, philosophical language. But it's the same old lie of the devil used back in Genesis chapter 3. And let me stop here and talk a moment about that, because I want Christians to understand that you don't need a PhD in philosophy to understand what is going on in our cultural ideology. All you need is to know the basic lie of the devil described in Scripture and the words that are now being used to sell it. Genesis chapter 3, the serpent said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So the basic argument of the devil is, number one, God has prohibitions. Number two, God is lying about the penalty for those prohibitions. And number three, God is keeping you down through those prohibitions so that you do not become like him. And there are a number of ways we can express this. That God and his morality is oppressing you so that you will not be empowered. That God and his law is keeping you from being successful, from having happiness and fulfillment. And the intrinsic lie of the devil has not changed for the last 6,000 years. It's simply that God is the oppressor and Satan and his ideology is the liberator. And so postmodernism today is teaching that traditional Christian values are oppressive. Now, of course, in that God is considered the oppressor, then his truth and his people who practice his truth must also be oppressive. But rather than come right out and say that God is the oppressor and we want to overthrow the rule of God, we're still in an early stage here. The ungodly are hiding their real agenda by attacking God's values that have been inculcated into society. And so rather than revival, where people start putting God's law into a society, we have deconstruction where people are starting to remove his law. So it looks like man's rebellion is going to end in the same way it began. The raw, undiluted ideology of rebellion that God is an oppressor will again come to the surface and be the rallying cry. And so I expect over the next few years, we're all going to hear those on the left actually start to announce that they are against God and Christianity. And this is the prophecy of Psalm chapter 2, that the goal of the nations, the kings and the people, is to cast off the fetters and the cords of God and his Messiah. Now, I want us to understand that postmodernism is the excuse or the justification. Every sin comes with an excuse or a rationalization. Because we're moral creatures, we're rational creatures, we have to have reasons for what we do. Now, of course, there are some people who eventually don't care about reasoning. They just simply say, "I want what I want. I don't need an argument." But in that, most people still retain some of the image of God. Most people still think it's a good thing to have a reason. So, even Satan came to Adam and Eve with a rationalization for rebelling against God. Think about it. He could have showed up there and said, "Eat the fruit, just do it." And Eve would have said, "No, can do." God said, "No." So Satan had to come up with some sort of a lie to justify the rebellion, to make evil appear like social moral justice. And that's what postmodernism is doing today. It's giving the political, social, academic leaders in our day an excuse to overturn God's moral laws. I really think the agenda comes first, then the philosophy, to justify the agenda, rather than the philosophy driving the agenda. But that's a whole other discussion. But really, nothing has changed over the last 6,000 years in regard to rebellion against God, in regard to excuse-making, except the degree to which this rebellion is expressed. How overt the justifications. Today, rebellion is more shameless. I think as we get to the end of the age, as we see in the book of the Revelation, rebellion against God is going to become very overt. So here's a good question. Where are you in your standing with God? Are you on God's side? Or are you playing games to rationalize your autonomy from God. So let me conclude with some thoughts about where all of this apostasy begins. The philosophy professor Stephen Hicks states that any intellectual movement is defined by its fundamental philosophical premises. These premises state what it takes to be real, what it is to be human, what is valuable, and how knowledge is acquired. That is, any intellectual movement has a metaphysical, a conception of human nature and values, and an epistemology. That's a fancy word that simply means a belief concerning where knowledge and truth comes from. Now, Hicks is not even a Christian, but he understands these foundational principles. And postmodernism has values, very deep-seated values. It is a belief that the highest value is your personal freedom and autonomy, that nobody should tell you what to do. It is a belief in egalitarianism, that everyone should be equal, that it's unfair for anyone to be above you in any way, morally, socially, economically. It's even unfair for God to be above you. And it's a belief that knowledge and truth comes from within yourself. You can make your own truth your own reality. As Hicks writes, postmodernism offers a consistent framework of premises within which to situate our thoughts and actions. But the Bible explains that these values of postmodernism are the lies of the devil. It's the devil's own position and beliefs that are being repackaged for mankind. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, I will ascend to the heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars of God. But notice, if you build your life on the premises of postmodernism, you will end up on the left politically and morally, and those foundational lies will lead you to hell. And coming to Christ means forsaking those principles and building your whole life upon God's truth, His foundation, building your life on the rock of Christ, that the highest value is to obey and glorify God, that God should tell us what to do, and that we are not equal with God, we are the servants of God. And there are superior moral, economic, and social practices. And truth comes from outside of ourselves. Truth comes from God's revelation. And let me say this to Christians, to those who have already chosen to be on Christ's side. Be careful not to leave one foot in postmodern ideological foundations and the other foot in the Christian foundation. If you're going to be on Christ's side, be totally on His side, because that is the only way to God's blessing. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. When I get around to making the YouTube version of this program, I think I'm going to have to do a better job organizing this material. I think I should outline this topic by questions. What is postmodernism? Why do people believe it? What is the hidden agenda behind it? How is it contradictory, and how is it being pushed? Well, nevertheless, the YouTube edition always winds up being a little different. Again, the website is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for including God and Country in your discipleship. I do hope that these programs are helpful. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to think clearly. Help us to see the big picture so that we can better communicate the truth to those who have ears to hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.